magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, September 28th, 2020. Being Monday, it's Memorization Monday, a great day to look at the Lord's Word, to study it together, to allow it to influence our decision making. Maybe it'll be impressed on your heart today as a key verse for you to know of God's love and the grace that he extends to each and every one of us. Today's verse is Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." Then that would be my prayer and the prayer of our special guest that I'll introduce in just a moment, that you'll experience God's grace, that you'll recognize he does love you, that he has a gift. The gift is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He came to take away our sins, to allow us to have a relationship with God, an everlasting destiny where there'll be no pain, no suffering, no heartache, that we'll get to spend eternity with him. And this is with a God that loves you, that cares for you, that desires to walk with you day in and day out. And so we'll talk about that God through this verse, Ephesians 2:8. But let me make a few announcements before I introduce this special guest. The Singing Men of GNN are going to be taking a break through the rest of the year. So those of you men that wanted to show up tonight for rehearsals, it's been canceled. We'll have a leadership team meeting tonight. But through the end of the year, we're going to be regrouping and figuring out how God will use the Singing Men in the days ahead. And some of you might say, Singing Men of GNN, I've not heard about them. Well, you're probably maybe from Springfield or Bloomington or Whitehall or Beardstown or Decatur, but the Singing Men of GNN has been a group established 21 years ago. We sing and declare the wonders of God. We've produced 3 CDs. In fact, this December would have been the 22nd year in a row, 22 straight years that we've sang at Marketplace Mall in Champaign, dressed in our tuxedos, singing the praises of the Lord Jesus during that celebratory Christmas time. But because of COVID-19, that's been canceled. And so we're going to regroup. And who knows, maybe someday there's going to be the Singing Men of Springfield or the Singing Men of Bloomington or the Singing Men of Decatur. We'll see how God leads. But be praying that up, and be praying up the many men that had their hearts set on singing and being used of God in the days ahead. And when we know more and 2021 gets here, I'm sure we'll be talking about rehearsals again. Well, as you know, on Memorization Monday, I have the opportunity of having special guests in the studio, people that maybe have a certain affinity towards a verse that we're going to be looking at from our book titled 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart. And so as I was praying up on Thursday and Friday, I'm like, Lord, I don't have a guest yet for Monday. I thought of this person and I thought, well, I'll send her an email and see if maybe this verse resonates with her. And that's the verse we're going to look at today, this Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." My guest is before me, a sweetheart. Oh, I can't wait to introduce her more formally, but this was her email reply. So I asked her beforehand, could I just read this? And she goes, sure, Mark. But she says, "Mark, I love that verse. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is a gift from God." And then she goes on to write, "The unmerited favor of God and the greatness and the most precious gift that has ever been given, the gift of eternal life. It's hard for us to fathom such great love, but we will have all eternity to contemplate it. His grace is truly," in quotes, "amazing grace and is sufficient for every need we have." And then she went on to say, "I just can't talk about Jesus without getting excited." Well, my special guest today on this Memorization Monday is Joyce Mankey, and she's the office manager here at WLUJ and has had a unique role. What, 5, 6, 7 years? How many years have you been here?
5 years.
5 years. And let me just brag her up for the, I guess, about 8 months that I've gotten to know her. A godly woman, busy, working hard, working long hours, passionate for those that are lost, loves on people, very gifted and sincere, a hard worker. And I think if you're around me, you got to work kind of hard. But she works like Karen Harrison, long hours, late into the evening, whatever it takes, loves the Bible, loves introducing people to Jesus, loves to pray for people. Her three girls are all saved and they're happily married. She has 11 grandchildren, 4 great-grandchildren, has been married to Verland, also known as Vern, for these past 40 years. She's been following Jesus for many, many years, and so there'll probably be some time to have her share a little of her testimony. But I've grown to love Joyce these last 8 months because of her character, her passion for this ministry, her desire to do things in excellence. She's one of those wise women that all churches need to have to help disciple younger women, but to also help with this radio ministry. She's a lot like Karen Harrison, who I call our office manager extraordinaire. And I think they've recently been talking back and forth as they problem solve and work through different things with this radio ministry. And now with our 19 frequencies and the expansive reach we have throughout Central Illinois, East Central Illinois, West Central Illinois, and then also into Indiana, they work tandem, work together. But Joyce, thank you for being available. I think this is the first time you've been on the air.
It is.
So you're a little nervous, which is my favorite kind of guest, because she was a little reluctant, but she said, well, if we're going to talk about Jesus, I love talking about Jesus. And in fact, Mark, this verse has a special place in my heart. In fact, it connects a little with my husband, Vern. So we're going to do a little reading, and then I'm going to put Joyce a little bit on the spot to say, tell me a little about Vern, some of your love story, and why did you right away say this is a great verse? So, Joyce, welcome to Mark and Friends, the Monday edition, and I'm so glad to be here at the Springfield studio. We've already prayed up the program, and like you said, Mark, if the Lord can use me through my testimony, through my reading, great, and we'll just leave that up to Him.
Suppose we took a microphone to the mall and asked people, do you believe you're going to heaven when you die? Many would say, I hope so, or I'm trying to live a good life, or I'm trying to be a good person. But Ephesians 2 begs to differ with that. We can never get to heaven by our own merits or on the basis of what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
This chapter begins by reviewing our past. We're dead in our trespasses and sin, verse 1, walking according to the world, in verse 2, carrying our own fleshly desires and facing the wrath of God, in verse 3, but God exudes His abundant love and mercy, made us alive by grace, verse 4 and 5, and has given us an eternal inheritance in Christ, verse 6 and 7. But verse 8 punches home this fact. It's the Bible premier text on the subject, for by grace are you saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is God's gift. When Jesus died on the cross, He shouted three words that ring through the ages and echoes from the heavens to the four corners of the earth. It is finished. When we think about salvation, we don't think of the word do, we think of the word done. It isn't righteous acts that we do or works of charity we perform. It's not a matter of living a good life or hoping that our altruistic actions outweigh our selfish ones. It's a matter of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross.
And I'm going to stop you there. That's kind of one of those significant verses, because oftentimes, well, I've lived a pretty good life, you'll hear people say. I think I deserve to get into heaven. I haven't murdered anyone. You know, I've lived a pretty impeccable or decent life. It's not about what we've done. It's about what He's done. And that verse you just read, it's a matter of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross that we are saved.
Absolutely. There's a verse in the Bible says our righteousness, Mark, is like filthy rags.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 goes on to say was a text for an unusual tag team sermon by James Spurgeon and his grandson Charles. The younger Spurgeon, who was just beginning to preach, had been invited to speak at a certain church, but his train was late. James stood up and started the sermon in his place, choosing Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 as his text. When Charles arrived, James says, "Here comes my grandson." He can preach the gospel better than I can, but you cannot preach a better gospel, can you?
Hmm.
So Charles mounted the pulpit, and he began where his grandfather had left off. A few minutes later, when Charles was speaking about human sinfulness, James whispered, "I know most of that." Charles sat down, and James took over and finished that point. Then he turned the pulpit over to his grandson. As he resumed, Charles could hear his grandfather behind him. "Good, good. Tell him again, Charles." For the rest of his life, whenever Charles read or preached from Ephesians 2, there came to him, with the recurring force, his grandfather's words, "Tell them again, Charles. Tell them again." And there's a quote from Charles Spurgeon that says, "Of the things which I have spoken unto you these many years, this is the psalm, where in the circle of these words, Ephesians 2:8, my theology is contained, so far as it refers to the salvation of men." Charles Hayden Spurgeon.
Ephesians 2:8, our verse for the day, our verse for the week. "For by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it is a gift from God." While this gift of salvation that's offered freely to everyone, it's a gift that can't be earned. It's a gift that God has extended to us as we walk in faith, as we accept Jesus into our lives. And you were talking to me earlier about this gift that you received around the age of 12 years old. So maybe take us a little through that, and then how you even saw this verse being a special one with your husband, Vern, and how he came to know the Lord shortly before you two got married.
Okay. Well, Mark, I was raised in a Christian home, and it was one of those kind of homes that if you were in a body cast, you still went to church.
Yes.
And so we went to church regardless of what our days were like. We didn't have choices with that. And I remember one time as a child when we were sitting up in the choir loft, my sister and myself and my aunt actually was the same age as my sister. So we were sitting there, and they had put me up to get up out of the choir and to go out to the bathroom. And my dad respectfully took the corner of my dress, and he pulled me back down. And when we got home, he said, "I want to teach you something." He said, "When the preacher's preaching or they're praying, you're to never move." And so that has stuck with me all these years, the respect that we need for a holy God because of the grace he has shown us by giving us eternal life. And so that was something that has gone with me throughout. Ended up marrying a preacher when I was very young, and we pastored a couple of churches, and we learned a lot about faith and hope when we were in the ministry with preaching. But then he had passed away in 1975, so it left me raising three children, and that was a very difficult time that we went through. And so during these next 5 years of being single, I met Verlin through a friend of mine, and we started seeing each other. And he would call me up, and he would ask me if I wanted to go to lunch or go to a movie. And it was so exciting because, you know, I haven't gone out with anybody, and life was hard because we was trying to work and get the children through school and support the children. And so I would look forward to those nights when he would come over, and maybe we could go out and eat and have a night out. And so when he came, he would always say after he got there, "Do you mind if we stay home?" And I would just be so disappointed. And I remember how I'm thinking to myself, I cook all the time, and now I've got to cook dinner. And so, but I would agree and say, okay, we can do that. So our conversations ended up always being about the Bible. He would question me. He had been in church, but he wasn't a regular, and he wasn't saved. And I had promised God I would not marry a person that was not a Christian. And so anyway, he would start talking about the Bible, and he would ask questions. Every time we got together, he wanted to know about something in the Bible, and so our whole dates were on Scripture. So in March of the next year, he was saved on Sunday before we got married on Saturday. So this kind of tied into the verse that we were talking about when we talked about faith. You know, I thought many times about Abraham when he offered his son Isaac, and he knew God would supply. And I knew Verlin was the man that God had led me to. I knew that with all my heart. And we prayed through Scripture, and we prayed and talk through Scripture every time we were together, but I didn't know when he was going to make that final decision until the week before we got married, and then I was so excited.
Yeah, I think you were saying you were in the church service and his hands were gripped onto the pew or something, and suddenly he leaped up and you were like, could this really be that the Lord was moving in his heart? Conviction was taking place, that he was connecting with the sovereign God, recognizing himself as a sinner, as most all of us do, and then wanting to ask Jesus into his heart. So that had to be like a very celebratory time.
Right. He ran down to the altar crying, and I'm thinking, hallelujah. And so after we married, he had never had children, and so he moved into a home with a wife and three teenage girls, and that was really a challenge for him.
Yeah, I think you said you had a bathroom and a half, and I always kid with Holly, God save the marriage. We have his and her bathroom, so she's upstairs, I'm downstairs. Her and Esther use the upstairs one, and I'm very content downstairs. But you were saying how he tended to be a little more introverted, but he just took a loving to your children and would do anything for them, and that was more affirmation or confirmation that God was building characteristics into this godly, newfound believer to love on you and love on your kids.
And he's been very good with the children and grandchildren. In fact, when they need something today or call, he's the first one to say, well, we got to help them. So it's been a good relationship. They look up to him as dad and grandpa. And so he's a wonderful man. He's obviously the right man that God led me to.
Mm-hmm. And our verse is Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift from God. And so you might be driving along or listening in your kitchen or seated in your living room with the radio on, the old-fashioned radio, maybe tuned in, and you're thinking, this grace, I don't know if I've ever experienced that. I don't know if I have faith yet. How can I receive this gift from God? What would you say, Joyce, to maybe somebody struggling with not feeling adequate or not feeling loved, or doesn't understand that there's a God that loves them? What would you say that there's a gift that he wants to offer you?
Well, I think the scriptures are very clear. And I think so many times we have to pick up the Bible and just read what he's telling us. You know, we have to trust him in times that when we know we can't do something ourselves, we have to trust Christ because he's the right person. He's the right answer for our life. And it is his grace that he gives to us that we cannot do these things for ourselves. His grace is sufficient for every need. And I think you find that through the word when you read of his love for us and how he loves us unconditionally.
Yeah. And the greatest gift that he's given has been demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world that came and gave his very life for each one of us that accept him as Lord and Savior. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So it's not about you measuring up. It's not about you becoming perfect. It's not about you attending church each and every week. It's about you surrendering to the fact or acknowledging this gift, this free gift that he offers. He hands it out. It's just whether you'll receive it. And if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, it'll have a profound impact this day and through all eternity. This free gift of God, as mentioned here in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this not from yourself, it is a gift from God. And that would be our desire, our prayer, Joyce, as we prayed about this program, that people would come to know the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And may that be true of you today. There's a verse in James that says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. I promise you, if you seek him out, he's already working on your heart to know him. And if you have a question or want to know, how do you have a relationship with God, or can I believe the Bible, or who is Jesus, there are great people that'll answer your questions. They'll pray with you. It's a free call. It's 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. And you can call them up, and they'll talk about how to have a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mark, let me just share with you the change that came into my life in 1997 when I thought life was normal as usual. I was caregiver for my parents at that time, but I had a brain aneurysm and ended up not expected to live. I was in a coma for 4 days, and when I come home from the hospital almost a month later, it gave me a long time to think, a lot of time to think about what God really wanted me to do in my life. And I'd lay in the bed in my bedroom in the quietness of the home, and I could hear the wind blowing, and I'd often think of the song, "Even the Winds Whisper His Name." Mm. And I could hear birds singing that I'd really never paid any attention to before. But it was at that particular time that I began really to pray, "Lord, what really would you have me to do?"
And how old are you at this point?
I was 56.
Okay.
And I was caregiver for my parents for 5 years, and the stress was pretty bad. And I was working a full-time job and trying to take care of them at the same time. And one of the things that the Lord revealed to me, because we had a little church that was down the road from us, and they would come in on a Wednesday night and have a praise and worship service with my parents. And that really got my attention, which directed my mind to seniors and to loving the older folks. And so I started visiting the nursing homes on my lunch hour from work. And I kept praying the prayer of Jabez. You know, we don't hear a lot about Jabez in the Bible. He's very quiet. But he prayed the prayer that you would bless me and enlarge my borders, and that your hand might be upon me, and that you'd keep me from harm and not cause pain. And God granted what he asked. It wasn't for material things. It was for God to use him in his plan,
right,
in his perfect plan. And so I prayed that prayer many times, and I saw God do amazing things through the nursing home ministry. And I guess if I had to talk about a favorite part of Scripture, of course, John 3:16 is always a favorite part. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think of the time when Jesus healed a blind man, and he spit on his eyes, and he said, "Can you see?" And he said, "I can see, but they look like trees walking."
Right.
And so he spit on it again, and he said, "Can you see now?" And he said, "I can see as Jesus sees." And so that's my desire, is that I can see people as Jesus sees them. And I think it's changed my whole life. We now go into 19 nursing homes, and we've seen about 20 salvations. Barbara, grace are you saved.
Amen.
Through faith.
Amen. Well, Joyce, as the office manager here at WLUJ and the tireless efforts, our team appreciates you. She has a heart of gold and serves this ministry so faithfully and well. And so we appreciate Joyce Mankey. And if you get to meet Joyce, you're going to be blessed by that occasion. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Joyce Mankey with Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.